The Apple event has been officially announced, and that means that we are officially in the pre-launch week where people start to make up facts and fake stories.
There has been a lot of like just random rubbish come out this week, more than usual, it feels like.
More than usual, because I think it's because there's patterns to what happens in the past, and people have been asking me, like, is this real? Is this real? Because if we don't cover it, we don't by default cover it to say fake, because we'd be doing that all day, I think, and that just kind of encourages people to make up fake stuff for attention. But we've certainly seen a lot of that where it's like, is this real? And I think why are they doing this? Like, why would they fake it? And I think it's just for attention. Like, if you have a Twitter account and suddenly you get a lot of engagement on it, you know, it kind of gives you a thrill. I don't know.
Yeah, but, and obviously you get a lot of the lesser good tech blogs just post stuff for clickbait, basically. Like,
yeah. So well,
unfortunately.
I wouldn't say lesser good. I mean,
I was thinking, for instance, of last week, I actually got... I'm so stupid. I got on the top of Reddit for debunking something that, like, some random... There was, like, this basically fan mock-up of all the rumored specs, and it was an image. Yeah. And the actual source of the image was not saying... This was not trying to pretend that it was real. They were just doing, like, a fan, you know, fan rumor roundup type of thing. But then it somehow got posted on, like, a Chinese blog, and then some, what I would call lower-level blog, a US blog, reposted it as fact, and saying this is a leak of the specs. But like, it was, for anyone who's actually like following the tour, it's so obviously not. So I just found the original and just posted it and tweeted it, and then everyone, like, thankfully everyone got on the same wavelength. But and then this week we had another one with like a massive fake PDF, and there's also been these random images that are completely fake as well. It's just a whole mess.
Yeah, very, very, and then also, like, so when we're very busy like deciding what is real and what is not real, when something borderline comes across, like, oh, that might actually be real, and it's like, oh, what do we do? what call do we make here? So
yeah you're right. So, like, we can't cover all the fake stuff as fake, because we'd just be bombarded with rubbish. But some of this stuff this week has been so much attention given to it, we've had to do like debunk style posts. And you know, I don't like calling out other people. That's not my style.
No, me neither.
But if people are just sitting there just saying stuff that's like blatantly wrong, it's like, what are you going to do? Not respond to it? That's stupid.
Yeah, I try and be tasteful, and yeah, it's tricky, but I try to be tasteful about it and just be informative. You know, like there have been some things. I mean, we've had the whole like, we don't know what will happen with the Apple Watch. You know, but we've had, I think, reasonably, we've seen a lot of coverage just assume there will be an Apple Watch Series 5. And then, so I like to kind of put that in, like, maybe that will happen, but we don't know as much as we knew before, like, you know, in years past.
Yeah, and we don't have any smoking gun Series 5 evidence. Right?
Yeah.
It's not a sure thing. So, but then people extrapolate stuff into being sure things and say, for sure, this is what's happening, and then it gets out of control. And, you know, hopefully that's why people end up sticking to 95 Mac as readership, because... You know,
I like 9 to 5.
Yeah, exactly. And we try and forge the correct, you know, the correct truth, essentially.
Yeah. I mean, again, to be fair, like there is something to be gained from years and years of looking at this stuff and putting together patterns and having context. Like, if you start just day one, then it all looks the same to you. So you got to make, you know, judgments, and it's based on, well, what has happened before this, you know, source or you know, new on the scene, you know, source. So it takes experience, and so I think it's pretty fair to see mistakes happen. But it's also another thing is, like, if you can devote 24-hour coverage to Apple news, then there's super value in that, because then you can be, you know, you can know what you're talking about. Well, let's start by talking about the Buy Innovation Only event coming on September the 10th. So Apple's officially announced their what we all believe to be the iPhone 11 event. There's no doubt there, and that's on September the 10th. So it's under a week away from when we record. And kind of describe this logo to me that's on this announcement.
Yeah. So Apple always loves to have some fun with the event imagery. We talk about quite a lot how, like, the WWDC imagery has no relationship at all to the software situation. It just seems to be like completely out of the blue. Let's do some cool artwork for whatever year it is, and, you know, then we'll just announce iOS 13 and it'll have whatever. The other like media event stuff does have, not always, but on a fairly frequent click, it does have a association with the announcements. And I'm sure that the person that made, or the, you know, the team that makes these graphics does not get told a full rundown of every product that's coming out and all its features. They probably get told like a theme or something to show, right? And then it just gets extrapolated into this nice image. Like in the March event, when they sent out the invites, it all said like 3, 2, 1 movie theater style, and obviously that mm-hmm. was TV Plus. And then if you look like last year's event, the 2018 event, that was the Infinite Loop event, the Apple Park event, where they announced iPhone XS in gold. And what do you know, the event was the Apple Park and it was all in gold, right? And the gold was the new color for that year. So especially for like the iPhone event, there's I'd say 50-50 chance of there actually being...
Yeah, I mean, in before that, when the 7 was the new phone, you had that bokeh effect yep. on the image. So it isn't that there's zero connection here. So it isn't just silly to look at it and guess what it means, what it includes. That looking back... Because I was going to ask you, like, looking back, do we ever find a connection here, or is this just a waste of time that we all get excited about and then forget after the event? But you're already saying now, yeah, and if you look at past, especially iPhone events, that there is a pattern to what's shown loosely to what comes at the event.
Yeah, I'd say WWDC is just always just a free-for-all. There's no, it's all detached. Sure. It's pretty fit pictures. But especially the September event, there always seems to be a little clue of something. And this year, it seems to be very clearly the colors, because essentially this logo, this invite, is the Apple logo in a kind of 3D shards of glass kind of look. And you have 5 colors on this logo, going green, blue, yellow, red, and purple, going down. Now, obviously, Apple has a very infamous logo from way back in the day, which is a 6-color rainbow. So there's an immediate reference there, an attachment to that. Like, they're clearly evoking that branding. And this isn't the first time that they've used the 6-color logo and stuff, or reference to it. Even at the March event, they had that. Do you remember the intro video? Was that kind of like 70s James Bond style yep. retro intro type thing? That was a 6-color logo affair with that color palette. And they've done ads occasionally that actually show the 6-color logo as like a flash or whatever. Like, and there's been some, you know, talk about whether the 6-color logo is coming back in a bigger form or whatnot. But this logo is clearly intentionally not a replication of the 6-color logo in 3D, because the colors are different and there's one less color. And based on the general speculation and rumors of the whole year, it seems pretty likely that these represent the colors of the 10R successor, because obviously the current 10R is available in red, yellow, white, coral, black, and blue. And there have been pretty good rumors that the new 10R, which we think will be called iPhone 11, will feature purple and green colors, like a dark green color has been rumored. And so if you look at this logo, there's definitely like purple in there. Blue is missing, so maybe blue's gone and completely replaced by green. So, but that tends to be where this is looking at. I don't think it's anything more special than that. I saw some people were like, oh, it's 3D because it's like glass shards overlapping, or it's the lens camera lens system because it's like refractions of light. I think that's way too deep. It's probably just a hint at this is the lineup of what the new 11 colors are going to be, plus, you know, white and black.
Yeah. Have you seen, so they often do, I guess they've done this for a few years, that Apple will have a promoted tweet from the @Apple account, which only has ads, so that you don't see them on the timeline, but they're distributed throughout Twitter anyway. That whenever you favorite the tweet with the heart like button, that it reminds you of the event when it happens, and they send you an instant reply and say they'll remind you. But that sponsored tweet that's going around from the @Apple account, much otherwise hidden, it's like animated. So it's like an animated version of this. And then whenever they respond to you with the, we will remind you when the event starts tweet, it's not an Apple shape, it's a heart, you know? And I think the heart is just to show you fave the tweet. Here's a heart, you know, cause that's the icon for faving the tweet. Or I guess liking the tweet. It used to be called fave and it was a star. Now it's called like, and it's a heart. But I don't think there's anything deeper than that. From that, but it's you can see it kind of like animate and pulsate. And I think we only see glass because of the leaked Tenor shards of glass from earlier in the year, and that if you didn't see glass, it's just more like almost like the Aqua UI of the Mac before, you know, just bulbous and kind of jelly and you know, floating and animating. So
yeah, it's definitely abstract enough that it shouldn't necessarily have to be representing a specific material.
Mm-hmm.
But we think it's glass because all their phones are glass, and we've seen the color leaks already. If you're coming at this event blind and you saw this invite, then you wouldn't be able to go, oh yeah, these are the new phone colors. Like, it just, there's not enough there. But we can kind of piece it together from the jigsaw puzzle of leaks, essentially.
Mm-hmm. And this event is at the usual time where it's 10 a.m. Pacific time and 1 p.m. Eastern time, held at Steve Jobs Theater at Apple Park in Cupertino. That's the headquarters. And their tagline is, you know, it's by innovation only. So play on by invitation only. And you know, we've seen people get excited about, they say, innovation only. I think with the taglines, they can certainly say whatever they want. Yeah. And it doesn't have to be tied to, you know, a big leap. And they're always proud of what they put out and believe is innovative, even if critics aren't, you know, so.
Yeah, I think the they just have loads of them piled. It's almost like picking a fortune cookie out of the box. They just have loads of these lines. They just roll through them.
And yeah,
come what may.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay, so that's the event has been announced, and since then there have been more stories about what we might expect to see from the event. So this is all new since last week, and also since the event was announced. So the first thing is kind of there's been some reporting. This started out on 95 Mac with Guy Rambo finding what, honestly, I thought might be too far-fetched is an Apple version of like the Tile item tracker. But then we've seen way more evidence from what Apple is actually putting out there that suggests this is a very real product. There's been some more reporting since then, and Rambo's done a good job this week of kind of putting all that in context and explaining what seems to be coming, and also context around Apple's glasses, the 3D project or AR project of like something you wear on your face, and it's like the grand finale of Apple's big AR, you know, build up. So kind of explain what Rambo's got here for us this week with the item tracker and how it will work, and then also, you know, the so-called Apple glasses and what may not be coming with that right now.
Yeah, because Rambo found like these references to the tracking Tile thing way back in like April. And mm-hmm. back then it wasn't clear if it was just like a prototype, if they were planning to actually ship it anytime soon. He'd found like software and code references, but there wasn't like a surefire, this is definitely coming. There wasn't a smoking gun evidence for it. But clearly a lot of the infrastructure was built out, and we saw in June the whole Find My redesign, the terrible name, redesign of Find My Oak, and combination of Find My iPhone and Find My Friends, plus the offline beacon layer network that they've added on top of that now. So you could, if your device is like your Mac is offline and doesn't have a network connection, but someone else's phone walks nearby and picks up its Bluetooth signal, the phone can relay the location encrypted and securely all the way back to your own other device and actually be able to locate the laptop to a reasonable proximity. And all of that stuff immediately makes, you know, a lot more sense when there's a physical Apple product to go along with it, like the Apple accessory in terms of this Tile tracker thing. And we've seen glyph icons kind of it, which look like just basically like a circle with an Apple logo in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the most popular version of this, or at least the most well-known, is the Tile tracker, like literally just called Tile.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same concept, right? You have this little Bluetooth thing that you can snap on your keys or snap in your wallet or put it on something else. And then you can make it make a noise if you're nearby, or it can store your last location, or if someone else with a phone comes nearby and they're also using Tile, then it can find the other Tiles in the area and let the original owner know. The issue with those things, and obviously Tile's not the only competitor, there's many different brands doing basically the same thing, but Tile's probably the most prominent, is that you have the network effect problem of how do you build, you know, that critical mass of enough people to be able to cover the country when you don't have any people with them at the beginning, so there's no impetus to get one, right? Because it's like, if you don't have anyone using the tracker, then no one's ever going to be able to locate it for you. But to get everyone using it, you already need to have that network in place. Like, it's a chicken and egg problem.
Mm-hmm.
Very similar to social network growth, etc. And where Apple can do this differently is they can automatically infuse their install base of a billion devices, you know, a billion phones in your pocket, y'all, to quote Oprah.
Oprah, yeah.
Yeah, that all of those phones with iOS 13 are automatically becoming part of the Find My network. And so you don't even need to sell a single tracker for that one tracker to become valuable. And naturally it will build up around that, because you can just be in these trackers are going to be very regularly in proximity of an iOS device or of a watch or of a Mac. And you can immediately tie it back through that. So that's how Apple can make this a really, really easy sell. $40, $50 accessory. You don't need to wait for a network effect to build up. It can just be plumbed into the Find My network along with all of Apple's other devices, and you know, away you go. And it,
yeah, and it's like an ecosystem play, because it's like Tile is only good with Tile, but it's compatible with iOS and Android in terms of the app. But here, if you get used to having these things, they only work with the iPhone. You know, we'd imagine. So that's it just makes the iPhone ecosystem even more valuable. There's like tiny examples of that where there's something very small, but you just get used to having it. And that's what this is.
Yeah. And we've found more code examples recently that heavily indicate that this product is actually coming out very soon, presumably in the fall. And for instance, in the Find My app, where if you look on the current betas, there are only two tabs at the bottom. Oh, there's three tabs, but the last one's like a settings tab. On the internal seeds of iOS 13 for employees, that third tab is actually a tab called Items, and the logo and the icon for the tab is a circle, again referring to like the circular tracker. So it definitely seems like all the code and all the, you know, stuff that Apple has to get ready is there so that a product launch could be very imminent. Even if we haven't heard anything directly that Apple is coming out with a tracker, like Minchi Kuo hasn't said anything about trackers, and I don't think even Bloomberg has said anything about Tile trackers really, but it just seems like all the code and infrastructure is there. Find My is obviously launching with iOS 13 and macOS Catalina, you know, in September and October, so it definitely seems like that is something, you know, the high likelihood of being announced next week.
Yep, and you, because of the iOS angle on this, you could see this is the kind of, you know, Spotify's unfair argument that you've got this big ecosystem aside of what the business is. You could see like maybe Tile complaining about this.
Oh yeah,
for competitive reasons.
And iOS 13 changes the policies around background location, right? Like you now get those new alerts that pop up every 2 weeks that say, this app has been tracking your location in the background. Are you sure this is okay? And then there's a big button that says, stop tracking. And that makes the experience of using one of these Tile services worse. And conveniently, the Find My app does not generate those notifications, partly because it is a system service, but also because Apple made it that way. And there was even an information report not too long ago about them complaining about that very thing, that everyone, Tile, I'm sure, is really scared that Apple's going to come out with this thing and basically crush their business, because it just seems better in every single way when it can be built in. Unfortunately, if you want competition, this is a perfect place where a monopoly can win. And Apple can also play on their brand of privacy. And I'm sure they can explain how it's all end-to-end encrypted. And if you find a random track on the street, that person can't find the owner, you know, can't find the information of the owner, but the owner will be able to find the location securely and, you know, chat. Yeah. You can even imagine something like them being able to set up like a private iMessage conversation between the finder and the owner, just so you can coordinate getting it back to you, whatever you've attached to your tracker. It's kind of like Apple Business Chat, right? Where they, you know, that's completely private from the business side and the customer side. And if you get in the weeds and you don't want to talk to this business anymore, the customer can delete the chat and the business can't contact you, right? Like all that spam problem goes away. There's no weird, like, oh, I found this device, but now I'm going to like tell you that you have to buy it or you have to pay for it. Like they can do a lot of stuff to keep the privacy high, but also keep the utility very, very high, that realistically a company that just makes trackers and doesn't make phones can't manage to do.
Yeah, this detail in Rambo's reporting, NFC can be used when a tag is located so that a user can scan the tag by tapping it with their phone to get information and help contact the owner. You can just like envision that happening. Mm-hmm. And it's so neat and so Apple, and it's just because it's integrated with the system. But you put your phone there, you recognize what this is. It's an Apple tag. It says, you know, presumably it's with an item. So you're not just relocating the tag, you're relocating what it's with. And that makes me think, what would I use this for? I'm not sure. Like maybe my daughter's backpack or something. I'm not sure. What do you have? I've never owned any of the Tile products. Even with like keys, I guess that's a pretty good scenario, is like put it on your keychain. But what about you? What do you think would you use one of these, or do you see a need for it?
Yeah. Keys is the go-to example, right?
Yeah.
I don't own any currently, partly because I just know the problems of the current system.
The limits of it.
Yeah, right. Exactly. But the Apple system won't have those limitations. So I'll definitely pick up like at least one for actual using, not just testing.
Yeah.
And
try it out, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but like one that I'd actually use, because I would put it on the keys, right? Like I think that's a good use. I could think that's a good use of these kind of things. But you could also see it on like instruments, if you have like, you know, like a banjo or a tuba, that kind of stuff. Or even if you have a laptop that isn't a MacBook, because obviously the Apple laptops will get it with Catalina. But if you're a Windows user, you can put it on. You can put a tag on your like Windows laptop bag, for instance. There's a lot of like cases where you can see pretty much everyone needing at least one of these things to like be helpful and be useful. So I think it's a pretty big like market opportunity. And I personally hoping that they upgrade the AirPods firmware to join the Find My network, so they can actually have a good experience when you're using the Find My app to find AirPods. And not the current thing, which basically doesn't work, right? So you can imagine the thing where if a random stranger finds a pair of AirPods, they can open the case, scan it with their phone, and it can ping back to the original owner. So it'd be like having a tag inside the AirPods. Maybe that only comes with future AirPods hardware, or if they can do it with software only on a current update to the current AirPods, obviously that'd be great, but maybe it's a future hardware advantage too.
Yeah, I've been following this Reddit post from, I think it's the Austin, as in Austin, Texas, subreddit, and someone found an Apple Watch, and they're using Reddit to try and reach out to the Austin community who lost an Apple Watch. I want to return this to you so badly. And they can't figure out how to do that because there's a passcode, there's no medical ID, so you can't hold the side button down and see emergency contact information and contact that person and say, hey, someone that you know lost this watch. I believe they've taken it to the Apple store and they can't figure anything out. I guess I'm not sure if they tried to do something with Siri, like, you know, who does this belong to or whatever, you might be able to do, who am I? I don't know. But they've had no luck. And after like a week and a half of watching the story open for a good ending, it just kind of went dead. So with existing products, there's already ways that those could improve, like things that die and get lost. You know, with this tracker, the idea is, I imagine a coin battery that can be replaced, and it's got a speaker, a tiny speaker that can play sound, so it can be located. Like it will show an opportunity for existing devices to get smarter about how they're retrieved when they're lost too.
Yeah, and because will happen with iOS 13, obviously, and the Find My upgrade stuff, because that you obviously need the new software to support the offline tracking stuff, which may be of help the watch case, right? Because if it's a Wi-Fi only watch and the person's put it in lost mode, but they're not at home, the watch is never going to get that signal to put it in lost mode. But if you had an iOS, if it was on watchOS 6, it could theoretically ping a nearby phone and report the location that way. So there's definitely like routes to Apple making this better that have already been announced.
Yeah, this is kind of a category of like cool, but wouldn't think of it tech, you know? Like,
yeah,
and not sure people are asking for it in masses, but it's worth having. You know, it's neat.
Yeah, you can see it as a pretty easy like Apple Store upsell. Like you buy a phone, do you want one of these little tags as well? They're only $40 extra. Just add one in your pack. It's like a case, right? It's just like a little.
You think $40? Yeah,
$40-$50. I bet be that range.
You think? I'm not sure what the tiles go for. I haven't looked them up lately. I know they get different tiers.
Tiles now is that they have a subscription tier.
Yeah.
So you have to pay like $5 a month to unlock all the features, which is just no one's going to do that, right? Like, today's episode of Happy Hour is brought to you by Why Things. For a limited time, Why Things is offering up to 40% off its award-winning connected health devices as part of its back-to-school sale. They have discounts on their timeless chic activity watch series, which looks like a modern analog watch but includes an accelerometer to track activity, workouts, and sleep. You can actually see your daily progress on the subdial on the watch face. The sale also includes its advanced sleep tracking sensors, health monitors, and its iconic line of smart scales. The Why Things range of smart body and body cardio scales can monitor your weight, body composition, and even your heart health automatically when you do your daily weigh-in. Why Things says that 78% of users with a weight loss goal have found success when they weighed in at least once a week. Now, Zach, you're a long-time user of Why Things scales, right?
Yeah, my family and I, we all love the Why Things scale. It looks terrific, and it has so much cool information that you can just see at a glance when you just step on it. Like, you know, the one that I use has your weight, weight differences between measurements, BMI, water percentage, muscle percentage. It's really, really, really cool. And my kids love using it because they can step on and see how much weight they're gaining. And I like that I can step on and see my weight. And, you know, it's often a goal to lose weight. And because it works with HealthKit, the weight syncs with the Apple Health app on the iPhone too. So it's really cool to see all that information.
Go to whythings.com or follow the link in the show notes to take advantage of the sale with up to 40% discounts. The sale ends on September 8th, so you have to be quick. Thanks to Why Things for sponsoring Happy Hour. Find out more by clicking on the link in the show notes.
Let's also look at what Rambo's been reporting this week about so-called Apple glasses and the AR headset and some reports that have been saying, like, looks like this could be coming soon. What are the details here?
Yeah, so this mainly centers around a glyph that was found again in an internal iOS build that looks like a headset type product, but it doesn't look like a sleek, elegant item that you would expect Apple to make for Apple glasses. It looks like a clunky, big VR headset. Like, my first reaction was, it looks like Google Cardboard, right? Like this massive, big thing that goes over your full head and provides like a VR experience. And so that's like the icon that's been found, and Rambo found code references to a Starboard project, and there's new user interface apparently in iOS 13 as well that can show like an AR interface to select apps and games and things like that. And so obviously this fueled a lot of, well, maybe the AR Apple Glasses project that we all believe is in development is actually ready sooner than people generally thought, and maybe it will come out in the September event. Maybe they'll preview it, kind of like how they previewed the watch in September 2014, even if it didn't ship until April of the next year. So that was kind of where this started. I'm not so convinced on that angle of it, because the glyph does not look like an Apple product at all. I think this is probably about getting a way to support third-party VR headsets on iOS to enable like VR gaming, kind of like, you know, like the HTC Vive and the Oculus Go and the Oculus Rift, those kind of headsets somehow connect to your iPhone or your iPad, and the iPhone or iPad drives games. And what is like a perfect platform for Apple to debut VR games and immersive games like that? Well, they have a new subscription service coming out, Apple Arcade. So that is kind of where I'm going with it. It may be like, maybe this stuff is like the foundations that eventually it will also play a part in the Apple Glasses project, but I would be disappointed if the Apple Glasses project is actually released sooner, because I think on the status of current technology, any AR glasses thing released now would be kind of rubbish. I just don't think the technology is there to do something really, really good. I'd like, obviously, maybe they can surprise us in an incredible way, but you just look at the market and nothing's sleek enough, looks good enough, has enough functionality to really be a worthwhile product. So that's why I see this as like more of just like a gaming angle, and they can maybe have some like stellar VR experiences as part of the Apple Arcade subscription.
Yeah, I mean, you can see, like Apple did with the watch, where they feel pressured to release something that they've been working on for a long time, just ship it and we'll improve it as we go. But that first watch didn't last long. I mean, it was on the market for 18 months. but then it was replaced with a Series 2 and a Series 1 to make up for the rough Series 1 or the first generation. So they probably really don't need to repeat that again with a rush to market innovation. So if what they can put out now isn't, you know, fantastic, then there's no rush here.
Yeah, it's not like current, there's a, like, financial growth play is all the services stuff. So there's not, yeah. When the watch was coming out, that was all they had, was like the new product category. And that even pressured Cook into saying it, right? He said that the previous year, next year, we will enter a new product category. And then the year started going through and it got to the September. It was like, well, they're going to have to announce a new product category soon. And then they kind of wheezed it out of it by announcing the watch, but not actually shipping it for another like 6 months or so. So whereas in the current situation, obviously we have the TV Plus and arcade stuff, but there is no like rush to release an actual Apple hardware headset, really.
Yeah, it needs to be compelling. It can't, if it's a dud, people will ignore it and move on. And then when they have something compelling, it'll be hard to take it seriously.
Yeah, and obviously they're working on this thing. That's why they're putting so much investment into AR kit and all the augmented reality stuff. And that's why Tim Cook doesn't shut up about AR. But it seems highly unlikely to me that Apple can make a good AR glasses thing this year or even next year. It just, like, the technology required to do it well and the battery constraints, all that stuff, it just doesn't seem feasible at the moment. They're obviously working on it, but what is feasible is a VR headset for games, because you can play VR games at home. It doesn't matter if the headsets look ugly because you're playing them at home, right? Like that's the whole premise of all these things. You can just play your games at home, no one sees you, you don't have to worry about walking around the street because they're not glasses, it's just a headset that you play games on. And at the moment you can't do that on iOS, and so this to me seems like a logical way to bring that experience to players, and they could put some stuff on Apple Arcade to make it more compelling for it.
Yeah, put the AR in Arcade. I'm not a gamer. You're kind of a gamer, right?
Yeah, I play a couple of games on the PC.
If that on makes PC, sense. You don't play any console games though, do you?
Not really. No, I like Mario Kart and stuff, but I don't actually own. I'll put it this way: I don't own any of the current generation consoles.
Okay. Well, okay. Because the reason I ask is because, you know, there are existing gaming VR headsets already, and they don't seem to be, it seems to be hit or miss on whether or not people will find value in them. And it seems to be kind of like a 3D movie. People just like the regular version better, and that a good game can be messed up by a VR version. And also, like 3D, people either really like it or they can't stand it. There's not a big middle room there, all because of like visual effects and how it makes you feel. So I like that description of this though, that it can be a kind of experimental, you know, add value in gaming. But I'm not optimistic that like VR gaming is the future. It kind of reminds me of, again, with 3D. Like if Apple was like going to make a TV and they said, oh, we're going to do 3D TVs because that's what's trending right now. And then those went away. I'm not sure that the way current VR, the experience is like that it's even going to stick around for a long time or just be more than a fad for right now.
Yeah, current VR is relatively gimmicky. I'd say there's like two games that are like you could actually see people playing regularly. One of them is called Beat Saber, and it's basically a puzzle game or it's kind of like Guitar Hero, but 3D projected at you because it's VR, right? And it goes like the blocks go left and right of you. But in terms of like when people think of like a VR game, they're thinking of this open world adventure where you can just get lost in this like galaxy and be an alien race and go on the moon and do all this cool stuff. Like there's no games like that are out right now. Maybe they'll come out in the next few years, but there's nothing like that at the moment. And so current VR is pretty gimmicky, faddish. But there's some fun stuff, like, and that's why you can just throw it in Arcade, right? You could play it once or twice and then just leave it and then play at parties, you know, that kind of thing. Like, it's not like a central tenet in any regard. All the top, most popular PC games, console games are still just, you know, 3D, as in on a 2D screen experience. None of this, like, all-round stuff. It's just not there. Like, the graphics aren't good enough, the experience isn't good enough, the lag isn't good enough, all that stuff. It's still very much work in progress.
Yeah. Okay. Mayo, let me tell you a story.
Go for it.
So, like 2 days ago, like 48 hours ago, someone on Twitter asked me if it's a good time to buy an Apple TV or if I think that a new one's coming. And so I like to answer these kind of questions because I can sort of I can never give a definitive answer, but I can say, if it were me, this is what I'm looking at. This is what I would do. And, you know, what I said was, the Apple TV 4K feels fine right now. Like, it's not slow. They've tackled 4K, so they got the resolution down, and it's expensive. It needs to come down in price, but the hardware itself is not bad. If anything, Apple needs to have a lower entry in the lineup, you know, drop the price of the Apple TV HD, have something even cheaper, because, and this is also what I said, Apple's been focusing on getting their TV Plus streaming service and their channel subscription feature in more places, like on TV sets, smart TVs, and even the third generation Apple TV box. So I wouldn't guess on Apple releasing a new Apple TV at the high end anytime soon. It just doesn't fit what I'm looking at.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. I'd basically have the same answer.
Yeah, yeah. Well, last night at like 11:30 p.m. my time, I felt compelled to write, is a new Apple TV coming next week, on the 5 Mac. And I felt, I kind of referenced the experience of answering this question to the person and what I, you know, said back and forth. Basically three different things happened, just all in the span of, you know, I guess a few hours. The first thing that I saw was that an anonymous email tip came to the 95 Mac tips box, you know, tips at 95mac.com. It's anonymous. You don't know who sent it. If they don't tell you, you don't know who it is. And all they said was that there's a new Apple TV coming, and the only thing that they know about it is that we'll have HDMI 2.1. So it's the newer spec of HDMI, the cable that connects sound and video to the TV and back and forth. So that happened. And on its own, I would never do anything with an anonymous tip that we know nothing about, and it's just one thing. Because like we mentioned at the beginning of the show, that kind of encourages people to like make up stuff and send it in and see if it shows up on the site for a thrill. But then there's a Twitter account that's @never_release that goes by the code name Longhorn. And they've got a track record of seeing things early and tweeting about it, you know, and kind of being open about it. And that account mentioned that the Apple TV 11.1 model is a thing that's unreleased, and that it has an A12 processor inside, which would be an upgrade from the current. Well, it would be a newer chip than the A10X Fusion chip that's in the current Apple TV 4K. And then those two things. And then I looked at the release calendar for the previous Apple TVs that we have on the market today, which is the Apple TV HD and the Apple TV 4K. HD came in 2015. 4K came in 2017. Now it's 2019. So if they're doing a 2-year upgrade cycle there, then maybe it is time for a new Apple TV to come out. And I don't know what would happen to the lineup, but you know, there's that. And then I looked at, well, what even is HDMI 2.1? And I found a pretty good explainer on Tom's Guide that highlights improvements for gamers, specifically, you know, basically with a technology called auto low latency mode, you can pretty much get rid of lag where fast moving content isn't slowed down, which is important for video games. And that it will come with variable refresh rates, VRR, and quick frame transport, QFT. And you can look at these technologies, and you can find the spec HDMI 2.1 on new TVs being sold this year. There's also 2.1 HDMI is for 8K resolution, but I don't think we're any close to that for the Apple TV box. They were slow on 4K. But there are 8K TVs being sold today. But I could see Apple doing that update for the, you know, just to say AR or not AR, Apple Arcade is even better on this new Apple TV, because if you use it with an HDMI 2.1 television, with an HDMI 2.1 cable, you'll have a better Apple Arcade experience than you would have on the older boxes.
You can get higher frame rate, lower lag.
Yeah. What do you think about this?
Yeah, it's a good idea, especially as like the Apple, we talked about this earlier in the year, right? How the appeal of the standalone Apple TV set-top box is lower now in the wake of the TV app coming to other TVs. like physical TV sets, and they're expanding AirPlay to those TVs, and the Apple TV is just expensive, right? Like, it's $150 for the 1080p model, and then $179 for the 4K model, or you can even spend $200 if you want 64 gigs of storage. It's kind of insane. And so if they had a new Apple TV that was switching up the proposition a bit, maybe it could be more appealing again. And I love the Apple TV. I love the Apple TV interface. I'm not even a remote hater. Like, people in the aggregate clearly don't like the remote very much, but I like it. So whatever. And I think I would hope that if they do another Apple TV and they do change the remote, that the core idea of the remote, that it is still like a trackpad, is retained, but they just execute on it better. But anyway.
Yeah.
What if they did a new Apple TV that was more powerful, but also cheaper, right? So maybe they could knock off the Apple TV HD and only sell the 4K one with this new A12 chip instead. Like,
yeah.
And what's interesting is that the 4K has A10X and this one supposedly has A12, but on CPU performance, the A12 is faster than A10X, but on GPU performance, it's the other way around. The A10X is more powerful in terms of graphics compute than a bare A12 would be. Not an A12X, just an A12 on its own. So you'd almost be getting like a slight downgrade in graphics output by going that way. But it's not a huge deal, because I doubt very many people max out their Apple TV performance anyway, right? Like, at the moment.
Well, and the games that we've seen with Apple Arcade, like, they look nice, but are they... like console, like PlayStation and Xbox level graphics, in your opinion, or what do you think?
No, they're like Switch rivaling, right? Like the lower tier.
Yeah.
So
because they have to run
all the arcade games have to still run on older hardware, like,
right, exactly,
for success even. So they clearly have to have scaling graphics performance. So it's not like that they have to meet a minimum bar of graphics to even work.
Right.
So if you could do an Apple TV with an A12 chip and it was like slightly faster on CPU, slightly slower on GPU, more performant, more feature rich in terms of the HDMI spec, and it was slightly cheaper, I feel that's a good trade-off, right? If they went to $150, you get the 4K one now, 4K capable one now, and maybe you could do high frame rate if you've got a certain television. That'd be pretty cool. I'd be into that.
Yep. And this would be the sixth generation, right? Because Apple TV HD was the fourth generation, and then 4K was the fifth generation. Because in my story, I have it as this new one would be fifth, but I mean sixth, so I got to change that.
Yeah.
But and a few more things on Apple TV and what it could do differently with arcade in mind. You know, like gaming they sort of tried to make gaming a thing on the Apple TV, and they've had SteelSeries make some remotes that work with the Apple TV. That didn't really go anywhere. Everyone always saw those remotes as like inferior to the console remotes. And then the games were, you know, really nice, but they were often kind of expensive, and it just wasn't a good business model for developers to make, you know, great graphics games on the Apple TV as a standalone. You know, like, it maybe as a, you know, buy it on the iPad, you have it on the Apple TV too, that can work out, but just not, you know, Apple TV only versions of the games. There was a whole back and forth over what can you require a game controller or not? Does it have to be playable from the Siri remote or the iPhone remote app? And they went back and forth on what was even allowed there. So, and also they've had the 32 gigabyte version and the 64 gigabyte version for both versions of the current Apple TV. And that's never made a whole lot of sense. Like, the explainer there is that you can fit more apps on the larger version. That's the only thing. You can't control like offline movies and things like that. So that it isn't like, you can say, I'm going to take my Apple TV on a trip and I want, you know, 64 gigabytes of movies stored on it. You can't do that. So it's always just been about how many apps can you download, and most apps are pretty small. If they're like video player apps, it's just,
yeah, and in the first year they had like a really small limit on what the size of an app could even be. It was like 200 meg with and then you could download resources after, but the core app had to be 200 meg, and then they later relaxed that to like 4 gig, but obviously by that time it's too late. So
right, exactly. This could be the first time that, you know, with Apple Arcade 100 plus titles, if you wanted to download all of those games, you know, someone will want to do that just so you get what you're paying for and you get to trial each game. You know, you own it basically, as long as you subscribe. then you might want to have more than 32 gigabytes. You might want to have more than 64 gigabytes. And so even though we kind of want this Apple TV to be, you know, cheaper than the $180 and $200 price points of the current 4K box, they could take it to 128. And it's been rumored by the Verifier, which has a not great track record. this is a site, I think, based out of Israel. And they seem to have some kind of connection to what's being worked on. You know, Apple's got offices in Israel. But they don't nail the timing, like, ever. but they have said, like, one of the things that they had reported before was multi-user support on the Apple TV, right? And then that finally comes this year. They've also, but they have said 120 gigabytes of storage for the next Apple TV. Maybe this is that. We don't know yet. But in a week, I'm sure we might find out.
That's a decent guess. Arcade games are going to be big. Like, when Jeff downloaded them on the Mac, some of them were like 5 gigs each.
Yeah, so 100 plus titles. If you wanted to download all of them, you know, one click at a time, they could add up.
1 terabyte Apple TV is coming.
Right. It's going to have more RAM than the other ones, like the iPads. And also, you know, they've got the TV Plus service, but I think that new Apple TV box has nothing to do with TV Plus. It's all about arcade. And also, you know, the March event was the preview event for arcade and card and TV Plus. It was only an announcement for release for News Plus. Well, we've got Apple Card released already, so there's no need to really do more than a reminder for that. But you could see pretty good segment for Apple Arcade and TV Plus at the event. And the arcade portion could say, and here's a new Apple TV to enjoy all this stuff on with these new benefits, you know, for the best TVs with the best cables. So a couple of days ago, I would not have guessed, but based on, you know, the anonymous tip and then the anonymous Twitter account, I can see it.
Investing in the stock market can be confusing and daunting. Brokers make it super easy to invest in pretty much anything these days, but who knows where to start? If you have spare funds to invest, but are otherwise overwhelmed by the jargon and rigmarole involved, consider using My Wall Street. My Wall Street offers a short list of stock investment ideas recommended by their teams of experienced investors. They're not a broker, you cannot buy stocks through them, they're an investment advice vehicle. They act as an investing companion, offering short lists of thoroughly researched stocks that they believe have significant growth potential. And at the end of the day, it's up to you to decide what to invest in based on their independent advice. The My Wall Street app guides you through the whole process, from getting started with a broker to building and managing a diversified portfolio. My Wall Street helps you take the first steps in the world of investing and guides you towards making educated decisions across your financial life. They show you how you can invest, what you can, and when you can. Happy Hour listeners can access the entire My Wall Street app for free and give it a try for 30 days, extending beyond the normal 7-day trial period. Visit mywallstreet.com/happyhour to download the app and access stock picks and expert investing guidance. That's spelled mywallst.com/happyhour. After your trial, you can continue your investing journey for just $9.99 per month. Check out My Wall Street today at mywallst.com/happyhour.
Let's also talk about, I think this is a fantastic story from Rambo this week, which is just loaded with details. You know, we first saw reporting about Apple Watch and sleep tracking from Mark Gurman at Bloomberg. And I think that was earlier in the year. And it was, the story was Apple's working on it. You know, definitively working on it, not just we want it, but that they're working on it and developing and testing. And it could be ready as soon as next year, I think was the line. And so that kind of rolled out this year. And that's what we've been saying, a Series 5 watch. If there's no Series 4 this year, that maybe they're saving Series 5 for next year. It's going to be a big upgrade with sleep tracking and support and the new screen type. Well, Rambo's got a really detailed report on what is Apple sleep tracking for the watch going to be like? And it's got details of like how it works and even the fact that it could be compatible with Apple watches sold recently. And it's really interesting. So kind of break down the story here.
Yeah. So they had, apparently it's codenamed Burrito.
And Burrito.
Burrito. And it basically allows you to do sleep tracking like you can do with a lot of third-party apps, but it would be native to watchOS. If you had more than one Apple Watch, you can designate one to be your bedtime watch, so that's the one that you use for sleep. It can use multiple sensors to actually get information from heart rate to accelerometer to even the sound and noise. And obviously the noise app is a feature of watchOS 6 on its own, so apparently that looks to be rolled into the quality of your sleep tracking. Maybe it can track if you're snoring or not. That'd be funny. And then all the sleep data is obviously made available in the health app. And speaking to why it might be available on current generation hardware is that there are a lot of affordances for reminding users to charge the watch. And if the battery is getting low, it can give you an alert to say, make sure you charge your watch for 20 minutes before you go to bed to make sure you can track your sleep overnight. It seems to be set up such that even on current hardware, which they generally claim is like one daily use, that it's a if you opt into doing sleep stuff, it can make sure that you have enough battery to get through the night. So it's not like it depends on a future watch that hypothetically had twice the battery life and can go all through the night by its own comfortably, right? So there's a lot of bits in there, just whether a little alerts or even like a sleep mode, especially, that can power down other sensors that aren't necessary. And they can, and there'll even be integration into like the alarm when you can wake up, and maybe only play on the watch. And there'll be an option to do taps only, no volume, and also integrate with Do Not Disturb and that kind of thing. And obviously, a complication on your watch, you can see your sleep tracking stats from your clock face. So
yeah, and if you wake up and you're active, this is from Ambrose reporting, and the watch detects that you've woken up from sleep, but you have an alarm set for the future. If it detects that, no, you've woken up before the alarm, that it will silence that alarm so it doesn't also go off. That's like a small nicety here. And you've been able to do – this is interesting to me because I've always imagined sleep tracking from the Apple Watch being like, you know, you've been able to do it with third-party apps for years now, but we've done it a better way with new hardware, not that we've just made our own app for sleep tracking too. With some special system integration. But this sounds like that. Like they're going to say, you know, recent watches get this new sleep app with this time in bed tracking. And then maybe also a future watch could have some special features. But you know, like you could see next week at the event, there being no new watch besides new case colors and options, you know, materials. But then the big thing is we're finally doing sleep tracking, just like Fitbit and every other fitness tracker, but better. And you know, it's not that we've made a new watch that has way better battery life and super fast charging, which would be nice for a sleep tracking Apple Watch, that it that even if you wake up and you've got 10% left for some reason, you put it on the charger and it gets to 80 in 10 minutes. You know, that would be awesome. But they're just saying they might just be saying with the current Apple Watches in the market, we think we can do something that customers want. They're already happy with third party apps for people who are very enthusiastic about it. Some people even have their old Apple Watch and they retain that when they upgrade and they use the old one for sleep tracking. And we're going to make that part of the feature. That's I think it's if this ships next week as an app on the watch for lots of Apple Watches, anyone like any watch with watchOS 6, so any watch that isn't the first generation watch, I think it's a pretty good compromise between, you know, a much better experience with one watch, one battery, fast charging, you know, to what they technically could have been doing for a while. And you mentioned the microphone sound detection, how they have the sound app, the noise app. That's interesting because a few years ago, Sleep Cycle, which is a popular sleep tracker for the iPhone, and then they have an Apple Watch app as well. And I guess it was actually last year in 2018 in April, they had a new snore stopper feature, which would use, I think, the microphone on the iPhone app. And if it detected snoring specifically, it not just noise, but it knew it was snoring, then it would kind of vibrate your wrist. And they say when Sleep Tracker detects snoring, it sends a vibration to your wrist, nudging you to change position and stop snoring. So not wake you up, but just kind of give like a partner would do in bed, tap you, make you turn over, you know, stop snoring. So that could be a pretty interesting angle on all of this, is that not only are you tracking data, but what can Apple do with the data to help you improve your sleep tracking? And a big question mark for me here is, will they do things that I do with a second watch dedicated to sleep tracking, which is have theater mode turned on so that when you raise your wrist, the screens that come on and brighten, you know, and wake you up? And does it disable those low heart rate alerts? Because I would like to use low heart rate alerts all day long, where your heart rate goes below a certain threshold, you receive an alert. But when you sleep, your heart rate goes way below your day-to-day heart rate, like when you're just walking around. And so you'd wake up with like 10 of those or more. So I'm curious if, you know, we've seen a little bit of in this reporting how they'll handle, you know, sleep mode basically. But I'm curious if it will go, if it will reproduce kind of what I've had.
Check,
you know,
all as the boxes. Well. Like,
yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
There is a question though, like if they had this ready and it is just coming to Series 4 watches, why did they not beta test it through the summer? Why did they not announce it at WWC in June? Like, make it just a WatchOS 6 feature. Why are they holding it back for a September shebang?
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know. Maybe there's regulation involved based on how they're doing it. I don't know.
I have a fear, let's put it that way, that...
US only?
That they are going to release new watches, call them Series 5. Internally, they are identical to the Series 4. They have the same processor and everything, right? Same battery.
Yeah.
And all that's the difference is they've got the new case finishes, the new colors, and then sleep tracking is reserved for the new ones only.
That would people would hate that.
Don't you think they could do that, though? And do you know what I think even more they could do? Is stop selling the current Series 4 watches, right? And have this new Series 4S or Series 5, whatever you call it, become just what's available for that lineup, and then carry on selling the Series 3 like what the Eurasian Commission had anyway, at lower price.
Yeah.
And then you have the holiday feature just being sleep tracking and the new colors. And you'd annoy a lot of Series 4 owners, but we've seen information, including Never Released, who we just referenced for the Apple TV stuff, saying that he does not have on the radar a change to the watch processor for this year.
Yeah.
So it would not... It's a possibility that's on the table that they release a quote-unquote Series 5 watch that has no technical difference to the current watches, and they could just software lock the sleep feature.
I mean, this has been the mystery all summer. It's like, what will happen with the Apple Watch at the event next week? We pretty much know as much as we care to know about the new iPhones. There'll be three. There'll be LCD and OLED. There'll be three sizes just like last year. We've even got the naming pretty much figured out and how the camera system will work.
Yeah, the only thing we don't really know about the iPhone is how far does like the computational photography go? Like how much do they use the cameras together? Like, obviously it's going to be more than just here's a wide angle zoom option, but how far does it go in fusing the images together? Does it make the image quality, you know, best in class for a smartphone? Does it beat the Pixel, which is what everyone's interested in? How far does it go? Is low light photos actually really good now? Do they have a night mode where you have to pause it, or can they be really smart and just have a night mode where you don't have to wait? Like, that's the kind of detail that we don't know, and that's what I'm most excited about the iPhone section, is how far does the camera stuff go? Like, how much stuff can they pack in there on the software side that uses, you know, the awkward hardware sensor housing stuff?
And with the Apple Watch, it's like, will there be a new one? giant question mark. And if there is a new one, how new is it? And, you know, it's funny to me because when the iPhone 4 was due to be replaced, everyone was like, ready for the iPhone 5. You know, we've had iPhone 3G, 3GS, iPhone 4. And 3GS was like, you know, the speed boost, but it wasn't a clear pattern that there'd be a 4S yet. Everyone wanted the 5, and then the 4S came out and it looked the same, and people weren't happy, and they're like, I'm waiting for the 5. it would be kind of funny if they didn't do a Series 5 watch this year, and people have been like, I have the Series 3 or the Series 2 and I want to upgrade, but I'm going to wait for the Series 5. This wouldn't be the year for that, and it would mirror what happened with the 4S, you know, instead of a 5, if they did, you know, if they did like an Apple Watch Series 4S, and this as is for sleep. then that would
the S is for sleep. Oh no.
Yeah. Sleep tracking. But I am very much happy with this. Something that we didn't have in the notes, but that it's relevant to me and this story is that last Friday Apple had announced a repair program for the Apple Watch, the aluminum models that would have a crack
two,
around
three, right?
Yeah, Series 2, Series 3 aluminum models, including Nike, where the screen would crack around the edges where it's like where it curves for seemingly no apparent reason. And in some cases, it could pop all the way, it crack all the way off. You know, the first Apple Watch just had a problem with the battery would expand, I think, and push either the back of the watch off or the screen of the watch off on top.
Yeah, it's like the glue would get weak or something, and then it would just, the whole top of it would just peel up.
Yeah, and just pop off like Jack in the Box or something.
Yeah,
this is that, I guess, where it's brittle, maybe doesn't withstand the time, and so the screen starts to crack at the rounded part, and doesn't affect the sapphire glass covers on the steel models or ceramic models. But I had a Series 3 Apple Watch that was my sleep watch, and you know, it had this problem, and so it's been in a drawer for a few months, and so I've my plan was to just take it apart, like I fix it teardown style, and frame it as like I like the watch. This is the watch, like torn apart. These are all the tiny parts inside of it, and then like put it on the wall. It's like a neat thing, but I've procrastinated ever doing that. And then this program comes out where this watch is affected by that. Like it has the problem. It can have the fix. And so I instantly used support chat and requested, you know, service be done to this watch, and they were very accommodating, and I've melded in to be replaced, and hopefully there's no reason that they don't replace it. But I think that's the ideal situation, is that you have an older Apple Watch, you can use your new one, your current Apple Watch, like day to day in the daytime, and not worry about charging at night. Cause it's, you know, even if you have a reminder, hey, you've got, you know, 30% or lower, you might want to charge before you go to bed to do sleep tracking. That gives me like, just, it's too much to handle. I don't like that. But if you do have an older Apple Watch, you know, and you can buy older Apple Watches secondhand on eBay or Facebook Marketplace, for pretty good price. And I even saw a deal on 95 Toys today where a Series 3 with cellular was like $229 brand new. That's, yeah, a pretty compelling price. So it's not insane to have like a daytime watch and a night watch. It isn't like having a daytime $1,000 iPhone and a nighttime $1,000 iPhone. You know, you're dealing with a couple hundred dollars here. So, which is not for everybody, but if you have the old one, then it works out well. So I'm eager to get that watch back through the repair program, so that if this is announced at the event and release, that I can go back to that system, because I quite liked it, you know. And this is just a full endorsement of that. I like where this is going. So have you had any experience with sleep tracking on the watch, or have you just always been, don't bother, one watch, no need?
Yeah, that's basically where I am. I've downloaded one of the sleep tracking apps and then never used it, so I just deleted it again. I'm just too much in the rhythm of use the watch during the day, put it on my charger at night, put it back on when I get up. And even if Apple does sleep tracking themselves, I'm not sure I would get in the habit of that either. I just don't like wearing a watch to bed. And you know, you can probably get over it in your head. If you just did it a few days, you'd get used to it. But for me, I like going to bed with not the watch on and just, you know, just pajamas or whatever, and then just lay there. But having like the watch on my arm, it just doesn't suit me in bed.
Do you shower with it?
No, I take it off. I take it off.
Okay, yeah. So that you can charge it then. But so the thing for me is, I totally shower with the watch, and I've never had a problem with that, unless it makes the screen pop off after a certain amount of time. I have no issue with that, so it wouldn't be a time to charge then. I know a lot of people who can get, you know, charge every other day and have no problem, so this would be fine for them too.
My dad has definitely shown interest in doing sleep tracking with the watch. He's downloaded any apps. I'm not sure if he's stuck to it, but it's definitely been one of his things where he's like, oh, I should have got a Fitbit because the Fitbit can do native sleep tracking and the watch can't. So honestly, if they did a 4S and it was sleep tracking only on that, it might get him to upgrade from the Series 3 that he has.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It's a nice way to frame all of this. I read a post in September last year, you know, after the new Apple Watches came out. If you have an Apple Watch, here's how to use the old one for sleep tracking. And I went through the apps that people try out: Auto Sleep, Bedit, which is by Apple now through acquisition, Pillow, which is all of these are free except for Auto Sleep, Sleep Plus Plus, Sleep Cycle, and Sleep Watch, and they're probably more than this, but Auto Sleep is the one that I found the most like data heavy, but is presented well and in a useful way. But you can also just put the data in the health app automatically with HealthKit syncing, and so you never have to see all that data if you don't want to see it. But I found, even though it's $3, even though it's the only paid one in the list, I did find that to be the best. With I guess Sleep Plus Plus being a good starter option. And you can use multiple of these apps too. So if you really want to, you know, see what they're all doing. But a big part of my story on this was not just here's the apps to try, but here's this mode that you need to create manually by doing things like using theater mode, do not disturb mode, you know, those kind of things. When I had a digital watch, like even the Pebble, you know, the Pebble you charge every few days, you know, every other week or so, I would totally sleep with that watch because it wasn't a part of my routine to take it off, and it wasn't a nuisance to go to sleep with it on. It's just, to me, it's kind of like taking a nap with the watch on. So it doesn't bother me. There are bands that are, I think, more comfortable to wear to sleep in. The best would be the Sport Loop. And so if you have an old Apple Watch that you're dedicating to sleep tracking, then you could also have the band be, you know, ideal for sleeping in. So then you wear whatever band during the day, and then your sleep watch has the soft cushiony band. Because I was talking to my brother-in-law who has an Apple Watch now, and he was talking about he fell asleep with it on one night and just didn't like the way the sport band felt. It was kind of made him sweat, and it was uncomfortable. I'm very excited to see what happens here with sleep tracking. In terms of the Series 5 stuff, it's totally unsolved right now. But there was a prominent Apple partner who makes a version of the Apple Watch that had references to Series 5 on their website today for a few hours. So tell me what's going on there.
Yeah, Hermes who make the like higher end watches that are the stainless steel ones, but they come with the Hermes bands. And the bands are like double calf, single toe, that sort of stuff. They, on their website, had product listings for, quote, Series 5 bands, but the actual product pages were just copies of the Series 4 bands, and they didn't show like a new watch. It still showed the Series 4 imagery and everything. It was just like the name of the listings, and they've since been pulled down. But you know, that there's a little inkling of a Series 5 situation. I'm not sure though that even a partner like Hermes actually even gets told what the branding is of the Apple Watch, because you know, what they're doing, they're making the bands, right? So Apple probably works with them, they make the bands, and then they don't know anything else until the event's announced, right? Like, I almost think they might have just been preparing the band pages, and they just had a placeholder of, oh, this is probably a Series 5, so we just write Series 5 in the name, and then someone accidentally posted them, made them public, and then took them down, obviously. But I wouldn't put too much stock in the Series 5 naming there, personally. It just doesn't seem like something that Apple would share with its partner, because it doesn't feel like it'd need to.
I think that Hermes, as a partner, would know that a Series 5 is coming, so would Nike, even though Nike ships theirs late.
Would they just know a new watch is coming?
I think they know it's called Series 5, but what I don't think is that whoever runs the web store for Hermes is like in the Hermes headquarters and has anything to do with these. They're probably like, they're not an Apple partner within Hermes. They're the Hermes web store person.
Right. You know? Yeah.
Maybe like super removed from Hermes, the company. They're running a website, you know, and so they put in the wrong text because it's
so maybe
the same.
The Hermes executive team knows that it's a Series 5, but the person updating the website doesn't have a clue.
Right. Yeah. And maybe the person updating the website runs multiple websites, you know, and they're contracted out and they have nothing to do with the Hermes at the top or Apple. And we have seen like some of the bands from Hermes, they're not in stock and off, you know, every season change, there are new colors of Apple Watch bands, sometimes even new styles. So you could see where something happens there with inventory and they maybe make a guess or a goof or, you know, for fun. I don't know. But the pictures shown with the listings were Series 4 watches based on the, and you look at the picture and you can zoom in and see on the back of the watch. And then also the descriptions were the same as the bands that had Series 4 in them as well. So there was nothing more than that. And weren't the model numbers the same too? So it didn't, and they reverted back, you know, after the news, you know, kind of went out. So I guess that person got in a memo. I'm just glad that we're getting really close to this mystery being solved. Do you want to make any predictions about what we'll see in September, at the September event? We're really close to it happening. I think we've kind of talked about what we expect for the iPhone and what we can kind of predict for the Apple Watch. And we discussed the Apple TV. Anything else that you think could be coming at the September event? Do you think there'll be one event or two, that kind of thing?
Yeah.
And I know we had that great teaser on Twitter today from our friend Coin. What do you think here?
Yeah, so September event, I'm thinking we're going to have iPhone 11 Pro, obviously. The watch, whatever, whether it's new hardware or just software updates. Maybe even that pill tracking app that Bloomberg reported on earlier in the year that didn't show up.
Yeah, watch yeah. 6.
And maybe that's like a research kit section. And then we'll have... I bet the Apple TV doesn't even get stage time. So if that's updated, it'll just be on the website. They'll have to have services come in this event in a big way. We'll have TV Plus and we'll have Arcade. We'd probably get pricing and availability, but I doubt that either of them are actually launching in September. I bet they're like October, right, or November things. So even if there is an October event that is actually late earlier than the release dates of these services, I bet they want to use the attention of the iPhone news cycle to promote the services coming out. So they'll have pricing and have availability, and maybe they show a couple more trailers for Apple TV shows. Maybe they have another guest on the stage to talk about their show. I would not be surprised if they like released one episode of a show online, like straight after the event, so that in the iPhone 11 news cycle, when people write it up and journalists, you know, do newspapers and everything, they can also mention, and you can go and find the first episode of Dickinson or The Morning Show online right now, so that they can actually capitalize on the media attention even more. And then and then when you go and you do watch the first episode, there'll be a nice little button that will say, remind me when the service is live, and then they can get a whole rush of extra people locked in when it launches in, you know, late October or whatever. Arcade, they can probably do game demos. I mean, they love doing game demos anyway. Now they've got a service where they can get an endless supply of game demos from that also promotes the Arcade service. And I bet that's about it. I do think we will get an October event where we'll see stuff like the iPad updates, like the 10.2-inch iPad rumor. I bet that's an October thing. The MacBook Pro, 16-inch MacBook Pro is probably October. And then maybe they roll in like the Mac Pro release date stuff and availability into that event as well. I think that's what probably we're lining up for. And obviously the October event will be lower key and less press attentive. But that's always the way, right? The iPhone dominates everything, and that'll be in September. So I think we'll have watch, phone, maybe the TV hardware, but definitely Arcade and TV Plus.
Yeah, a few things here. So
the tag. I forgot about that. The tracker.
Yeah.
If it's
ready.
The one more thing that Coin referred to.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of weak for a one more thing. But
doesn't it? It's one more thing. It's not big.
We should probably explain what the Coin thing is if people aren't up to speed. So the Coin account, right, which we've referenced on the show before, it's like CoinX, has pretty accurate information of like the iPhone XS and iPhone XR launches from before the iPhone XS and the iPhone XR came out. Plus it's had details on the iPad lineup that have also come true. And then today it just tweeted, and there's one more thing, quote unquote, Steve Jobs, kind of hinting that they're going to do a one more thing at this event, right? Because that's kind of
my reaction is like, yeah, it seems like Coin has had access to marketing material that would like specs and names that you wouldn't see if it was supply chain. So it's like
he popularized the pro iPhone rumor for iPhone 11 Pro.
Yeah, Indeed. So it seems like Quinn has marketing information that you might see on Apple.com after it's released, for some reason. And, but this is next level. This is like you'd have access to the script of the keynote. So
it seems kind of impossible to me. Like an anonymous Twitter account can't be that well connected. It just seems insane.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see on that. I do want to say a few things. So on the TV stuff, I think I've been pretty solid on my position that Apple's going to release shows bingeable so you don't have to wait every week for new shows. Like, what's the point in having them string out one episode at a time if in 8 weeks they'll all be available anyway? But I've come around, because of something that Apple's done with their marketing, with their, with the TV app.
They've definitely been stringing out the trailers.
That's true. So a few weeks ago, they had a marketing email for the TV app. You know, one of this, you sign up for telling about TV Plus news and you start getting all the marketing emails from Apple about the Apple TV app and things that are on the, you know, iTunes movies and TV show store and plus channels. So, one was promotion for Showtime, you know, which is an Apple TV channel that you can subscribe to for a monthly fee, and the TV app itself. And it was for a series called, I think, something like How to Become a God in Florida or something like that. And it's about, it's got Kirsten Dunst in it as the star, and it's about, like, kind of in the 80s, this, like, multi-level marketing scheme unraveling. And the email is, watch 2 episodes for free. And so I did that on my iPad Pro. Got the big one, watched 2 episodes for free. And then I thought, okay, I'm out of episodes now for free. Let me go subscribe to Showtime through the TV app, which I did, and watch the 3rd episode. But it wasn't there yet because it was 2 episodes free. And this is all that we have for now because it hasn't aired on Showtime, the TV channel yet. So now I'm in for Showtime for the next few months, I guess, so I can watch the rest of the show unless I decide to just, you know, stop and catch it when it ends. But I'm kind of interested now. So I think there's something to that.
Yeah, you're basically proving the rule that they're gonna do it week by week.
that's what I mean. I think that they're pushing that with partners. Partners already do that. That I've caved, and I think the same thing, that they'll be week by week. There'll be a limited episode trial so that you kind of get hooked and you want to subscribe and stick around for a long time. And there will be content that's bingeable because it's all been released already, but there'll also be new content every month. And so that'll be week by week too. So I've finally joined you on that one, probably at the right time before they actually announce it. Yeah. Anything that
we're going to get pricing and availability for the TV and arcade stuff? Or do you think they're just going to be quiet on it again for another month?
If they don't, it's annoying. I don't know why they wouldn't. Like, they've got to have a plan. They can't just be making a last-minute decision on this, right? I don't know. But I think that this is the event that they want to use the attention that the iPhone gets and you know, share the stage with services. Maybe they even do all the services stuff before the iPhone announcement, so everyone's watching with full attention, and they tell you what it will cost, you know, when it will launch, because there's no reason not to. Like, there's no, like, competitive reason that they shouldn't. And maybe there will be some surprises there. What if one more thing is Oprah's Book Club, you know? Well, of the event and what we expect to see, do you plan on buying anything from there? So for me, it's that with the Apple Watch, I want ceramic, even if it's a Series 4 with no changes. I've had a little bit of, like, guilt in my mind about that. It's like, part of it is, like, if you buy the ceramic one, then you want it to be one that you'll have for a while, you know, like a long time, because it's, what is it, like $1,300?
Yeah.
Versus, you know, $400 or so, or $600. So that's one thing. It's like, so putting it out mid cycle to kind of, you know, give an edge to the lineup is kind of painful in that regard. But I know that I'll always replace it with the next one anyway. So I can easily talk myself back into it. We'll see what actually happens at the event, what titanium looks like. But white ceramic, the problem is that I'm still looking at my Series 4 watch, you know, the gold one, and I like it. I like using it with a black sport loop or a sport band, and I just really like it. It's really nice. So, but I'm sure that, you know, new Apple Watch, even if it's the same one, a new color, will get my attention.
You'll especially get one if they do software lock sleeping.
Oh, Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I'm telling you, I'll get one if I don't. Yeah. So I definitely will if they do. So that's the only thing that I feel like I'm in on. The iPhone stuff, I know I've said in the past that I'll skip the iPhone and then I don't. And I felt compelled to do it because I'm on an upgrade program. And what's the benefit of not upgrading if you're going to pay the same rate every month anyway? And it's like a long-term thing that if you don't upgrade, then you can get out of your contract earlier. If you do upgrade, then you have the new phone and you plan to upgrade annually. So there's no benefit of stopping the upgrade for 1 year if you're going to upgrade, you know, in 2 years with that, those kind of programs. Now I really am happy. I regret the 10S purchase I have for like all year because the 10 was a good phone and still is. And, you know, the differences in between 10 and 10S are just not huge. This will be a bigger difference than 10 to the 10S, you know, but I'm kind of locked in here because I did trade the 10S Max for a 10S with a listener. And so the upgrade would be more complicated. I think I need to pay a bigger balance to upgrade. So it wouldn't just be like I turn in the old one, get the new one with no extra charges attached to it. It'd be like buying half the phone, I think. So it wouldn't be as easy. And then I'm really interested in getting off of my cellular contract with my phone. And I can only do that if I stop upgrading everybody for a little while.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then with Apple TV, that's the kind of thing like eventually I'd just pick up to have the latest one. Because I did that with the HD and with the 4K. You know, just good to have the latest one, I think. But, you know. What? And then my family's in for arcade. I cannot wait for arcade to come about because helping my daughter with apps and games on her iPod and iPad, and there are ads and they end up in Safari and it's miserable. And I cannot wait for ad-free, you know, games with no in-app purchases. That'll be so good. And then we will definitely try TV Plus because, I like what we've seen so far. But, so those are purchases technically, but I'm in for the watch, I'm in for the services, the iPhone. I've kind of forced myself to be out of that because I traded the phone last year. And I'd love to be out of my contract in a few years. So what about you? Anything you know that you'll buy or you
yes.
know?
I'm definitely going to try the services, obviously. Whether we stay with them is a different matter. It definitely depends on like cost and what they have. If TV is what I'm most interested in. If they have good shows, obviously I'll subscribe. I'm not a person who's like, they need 1,000 shows in a massive back catalog to be appealing, but they need like 10 good shows and I'm in, if that makes sense. And it's not a ridiculous mm-hmm. price. So a lot of that depends on the pricing. Arcade, I think, is a thing that's great for like the whole family here. If arcade's $4.99, then I'll rip their heads off and just get it. But I think it's going to be more than $4.99. So then it's like more okay. of a, I don't know. If it was me and I could only pick one of the two, I'd pick TV every time. So mm-hmm. that's kind of like the situation there. The watch, I'm probably not doing the watch this year. I just don't think there's going to be anything super compelling. I'm not that interested in sleep stuff anyway, even if it is hardware locked. Phone, obviously I have the iPhone 10, and so I'm much closer to being on like a year to buy a new one, if you see what I mean, than you are, because if you did the 10 mm-hmm. upgrade, mm-hmm. I would definitely be tempted if the camera is substantially improved. And I think mm-hmm. that there is going to be really, really good camera improvements. Because I think if there isn't, they're in trouble. Because they've already been behind basically this year on the camera side. And now they're dedicating a massive piece of the aesthetic to the camera system. They have to catch up and they have to justify the relative ugliness of the new triple camera thing. And I bet they've got stuff up their sleeve. I'm almost expecting them to have a slide where it's like, here's our triple camera system. Why is it a triangle? And then they'll list like 5 reasons why it's a triangle, right? Something along to that effect. I can always see the slide coming up, just to bat off the criticism, because if they have good reasons for it, they're definitely going to say what they are.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm definitely tempted on the phone side. I don't want to say 100% I'm upgrading this year, but I'm definitely tempted. I'd probably get a new Apple TV, probably, just because we currently just have the old... we have two of the 1080p ones, and so they're getting old and slow, and so getting a new one then would be nice. I've kind of been holding off because I kind of hate the idea of spending $179 on the Apple TV box, 4K, I think it's a bit of a rip-off. So I'm kind of hoping that the my hypothetical of it being slightly cheaper, because then I'll be happy with it. And I'm almost...
Do you have a 4K TV?
No, we don't have a 4K TV either. So okay. It'd just be like buying it for like the speed updates and the arcade stuff. Yeah, because we didn't have 4K TVs. We just haven't upgraded them yet. They just kind of carry on. They're good enough.
And just because, wait for 8K.
I acquire a lot of content on Plex through certain means, a lot of our content library is not 4K anyway. So it's like, whatever. I'm almost expecting them to do some kind of like packaging together of like, oh, you get the new Apple TV and you get 3 months free of arcade with it, maybe. And maybe you get, maybe there's a bundle finally where they like package a game controller with 3 months free of arcade and you get the new Apple TV, something like that. Maybe on the iPhone, like the iPhone 11, they give you 3 months of TV Plus to get people wrapped in. I can definitely see stuff like that happening. I don't think, and this is just my personal opinion, obviously no one knows, I don't think they're going to do a bundle, at least for this event. I don't think there's going to be like the Amazon Prime equivalent of them bundling news, music, TV, arcade, and iCloud and whatever else you want to imagine into one big thing. I just don't think that's Apple style. I think they want these services to stand on their own 2 feet. They want people to get invested in them. And then maybe this time 2020, if the services plans haven't gone very well and they haven't sold very many of them, that's when they start like scrambling for, oh, let's put everything together and try and get people to sell it that way. It just doesn't seem an Apple thing to me for them to bundle it like that. I know a lot of people are expecting it. I'm personally not.
Yeah, if they can continue to sell News Plus for $10 on its own, maybe that's better than Apple Music for people, for some people. But, you know, it's when you compare it to possibly $5 a month for arcade for 100 plus games, these are all different things. So it's what you want. But I think we both agree that with the prices and bundling, you for Apple, when they want these to be services, that's what the whole point is, that have subscription revenue. They do want to see, what can these services do on their own? How can we improve them to grow subscribers? And then bundling is like when you're out of ideas and you think you can grow even more subscribers by putting it all together or putting pieces together.
And the Amazon Prime is the obviously like the thing everyone goes to, is this is the example of what Apple's going to do. But Amazon doesn't make any money on Prime. Like, and Apple wants to make money from these things. They want them to be long-term businesses. I think they're going to try as hard as they can to sell. I think they'd rather sell Apple TV Plus at $9.99 to 10 million people than have a bundle that goes out that 30 million people pick up, but they're not making any money on it. Like, I think the bundle has a whole host of issues, especially when you just think of what they can actually charge for a bundle and not make a loss on it. Like music, they have to give 70% of their money to the labels. News, they have to give 50% of the money to the labels. Like arcade, they have to fund these games somehow, right? It's not just like a free pot of money. TV Plus, we've heard they're spending $6 billion so far, and they're going to keep going. Like if you think of the morning show, they need 5 million subscribers at $9.99 just to pay for the morning show. Like you bundle this all together, what are they going to give you? $5 off when you buy all four together? They're not going to give you $10 off. There isn't the margin for it. Like it just doesn't. It just seems impractical to me. And maybe I'll look like a complete idiot when next week they announce Apple Prime or Apple Plus and everything's brought in together. But I just can't see it.
Yeah, the bundle is family sharing, that you bundle the family members and with one subscription and not the services, because that is a perk. And also, if you use Apple Card and get 3% back, I guess that's a perk too.
Yeah, the one thing I will say, I bet they do bundles where it's like you can get an Apple TV channel and Apple TV Plus together for less money than if you bought both separately. Because they can basically just tag on. It'd be like, do you want HBO? Well, for say if Apple TV Plus is $9.99, well, for you can get HBO plus Apple TV Plus for $20. So we're giving you a $5 discount when you get both together. Because it's an easy sell for them in the TV app. They just like an extra button to get both together. But they're not going to do like a bundle, in my opinion, where it's all the different media services all in one go.
Yeah. The last thing that I'm kind of looking at as like a mystery, and let's see what happens here for the event, is because we expect TV Plus to get some stage time and explanations, and we know that Disney Plus is on the horizon, I don't think there's anything to do with Disney Plus and Apple TV Plus being connected. But where I do see a connection is, right now, Disney does not release 4K versions of their movies on the iTunes Movies and TV Store show, iTunes Movie Star show. So when you buy a Pixar movie or a Marvel movie or Star Wars through iTunes, that it's not in 4K, even though you can get a lot of 4K content for the same price as HD on the iTunes Movies and TV Store show. So I wonder, we talked in the past that Disney Plus appears to be the way that you would get the 4K stuff on the Apple TV, because that will be 4K content. It will be on the Apple TV. I wonder if they'll say, now that we have this, that we also let our Apple content do 4K now, like play ball, or if that will come in time. So I'm interested in that.
Yeah, they could also announce Disney Plus as an Apple TV channel. Like, so far they haven't committed to that. They just committed to using an app purchase and having a Disney Plus app. But mm-hmm. it could very. I think Apple would love to offer Disney Plus as a channel on skim 15-30% off the top of it in the inside of the TV app. Like, they don't care about the competition angle there with their own service, because they're going to try and sell you both of them. Like, that's the whole point of the TV app, where
the competition helps fill their.
It shows you everything. It helps fill their app content. Buy it all. That's the whole ploy here. They're like cable company 2.0.
Yeah, we had feedback a few episodes ago where somebody had mentioned that you can control what the TV app shows you, so that you only see what you own. But that's for something besides the recommendation stuff to what to watch. It's basically
that's the data sharing thing, isn't it? Is do you want your watch history from the BBC iPlayer app to show up in the TV app? And
do you want it's for like the up next queue, right?
Yeah. But they'll still show you, regardless of what's in that list, they still show you recommendations from everything.
Exactly. Yeah. So just address that one. I have a little bit of follow up from previous episode and conversation. The first thing was about USB-C and my search for the perfect MacBook Pro charger for me, an iPad Pro charger. And again, the thing I'm looking for is I have the RAV Power USB-C GaN brick, so it's super compact. It can power a 60 watts. It's fast. It's USB-C. But the issue for me is that there's no extension cable for it, so it's not that long. It's as long as whatever USB-C cable you put inside or connect to. So my limit has been like 6 feet, 2 meters, and I could find. What I want is black. I want it not to be braided because it's thicker. I want just like the rubbery material, so it's thin. It can be wrapped up easily, and no crazy branding. And I asked for listeners to kind of share if they saw something longer than 6 foot. Had a lot of feedback from the UK, Mayo, and it seems that you guys have the monopoly on 9 foot long black USB-C cables with
this
no
is
branding.
Apparently our economy now is just black USB-C cables.
Yeah. And so the first thing I did was purchase two from the UK, and it was through eBay, so that was not a problem. I think the Amazon stuff I couldn't get for a reasonable amount, but through eBay they do international shipping pretty well. So those are coming, but I haven't received those yet. But those are 3 meters each, so that's pretty good. I think I did the math on what the Apple charging extension cord was plus the USB-C cable I was using, and it was maybe around 9-10. It wasn't longer than that. But then someone in the US found through Monoprice what I was looking for in 13 feet, and I think that'll come arrive tomorrow or Friday, and that's pretty long. That's longer than what I've been using. I think I'll be at the end of my mission there. It's too bad that you can't like buy the brick from Rave Power and the cable from Rave Power or Anchor or any of those folks, that you've got to kind of find this obscure one on Monoprice or on eBay in the UK. But I'll be happy. Yeah, but I'll be happy to have it in my possession though, because I'm loving the 6 foot experience. I just have to find places to plug in that are closer to me than I did before. So having good luck there, but the new cables haven't arrived in the mail yet. Once they do, then this saga will be completed. And also a listener shared advice to look up the Zwift trainer for bikes, and that's Zwift. And these are like, you detach your wheel from your bicycle and you pedal inside with this thing to train stationary using your actual outside bike. And what was interesting about some of the setup is that, we mentioned my son's birthday present, the Fisher Price stationary bicycle that has the awesome Apple TV app game, you know, set up where you control the game. Well, they have an adult version of that through Zwift, and you pay like a monthly subscription and you get to train and have this sort of like animated environment, 3D environment that you travel through. So I thought that was neat, not just for kids, but for adults and like, you know, more serious training, that there's that too. So that's neat. And then I think we were talking a little bit about the fact that like my daughter who is 6 wants an Apple Watch, mm-hmm. and
yeah,
I think,
we were talking, you know, about you get a Fitbit or a Fitbit Verse or that type of stuff.
Yeah, and with the you know, need a phone, it becomes pretty expensive to manage, and she doesn't need a phone. So what I landed on was the Garmin VivoFit Junior 2, and the big thing that I think it's mostly like a step tracker. But there's an iPod app that you can use with that too, and do some character things with that. And it's like $69. But what was compelling there was that it's a 1 year battery, so you don't have to manage charging, because like for an adult, charging an Apple Watch is not a problem. But I think for a 6 year old, it would just be dead all the time.
Yeah, when you share it with me, it basically just looks like a fitness tracker band with a tiny little screen on it. So it's like, you know, getting you into the world of that stuff. Great for a little kid. It's pink or whatever. It's great.
Yeah, it's like what was the state-of-the-art fitness tracker for everybody, you know, a few years ago before the Apple Watch came out. Because I think this is like the little pedometer with a screen on it, and you can take it out of the band there. I mean, just having a screen is actually better than like the first few Fitbit and things like that. So it's interesting. That arrives tomorrow. We'll see how that goes. But she's excited. It doesn't do heart rate, you know, and that's part of, you know, when your battery life is, it's just a pedometer, really. And so she's been interested in heart rate because she's in the running club in first grade, and the teacher that or coach or whoever that helps with that, they measure time and heart rate at the end of an exercise. So she's interested in her heart rate, and that's why she wanted an Apple Watch. But I think this will be a much better fit for a kid, you know, $69. That's the sales price, but that's what it's going for. So the Garmin VivoFit Junior 2. And the mono price thing, the USB-C cable, I've got it pulled up in front of me what the name of it is. It's mono price essentials USB type C to USB type C 2.0 cable. Was $11.99 for 4 meters, 13.1 feet. So no visible branding there. So I thought that was interesting, kind of neat. I paid a little bit more than that for the eBay ones, but that's also those first. It was just the order of where they came to me. And I think that's all I've got for the show this week. Let's see what else. I'll take a look at the note one more time. One last thing I want to promote this week before I forget is that in November, I think it's November the 3rd. I think it's a Sunday, the first Sunday in November. I'm running the half marathon race at Disney World, which is just, you just got to sign up for it fast when tickets go up. It's pretty popular. And so you need to buy the ticket to get in months in advance. So I did that a while ago. And so from the Watch Time podcast interview I did with Ian Blackburn, he was also doing this sort of fundraiser thing through the website justgiving.com, where he was raising money for a good cause and just connecting it to a race that he was going to do and call it sort of a sponsorship, you know, not to pay for the race, but to raise, you know, awareness for and money for a good cause. So I totally copied him. And Christian, who makes the Apollo Reddit app, he's done these day-long fundraisers through Apollo Reddit app sales where he raises money and then donates it to his local animal shelter in Nova Scotia. And so I kind of took those two ideas and was inspired by those. And I'm using the website justgiving.com to raise money for my local animal shelter. And just to, I'm already going to race, but I'm kind of associating this fundraiser with my training. And as people donate, then I feel more motivated to keep training hard and have a good, you know, finish in the end. But I've got like 2 months and 1 week. I want to end the fundraiser a week after the race is over so people can learn about it even then and still give. But my goal is just $1,300. I want to do $1,300 because the marathon distance is 13.1. So it's pretty similar to that. And I'm just envisioning now, there's already been $280 donated, so I'm 21% of my goal. And I'm just kind of picturing, like, as I'm training for this race, the people who have made donations and using that as, like, motivation. Nice. Yeah, but I'll have a link for that in the show notes if anybody wants to give even a dollar. Like, you know, I get the alert for the donations, and I just, you know, I don't care what the amount is. Just having that alert means more people are behind me in this, and I'm feeling good about it. So thanks for the inspiration to those folks, and I hope this goes, you know, to the goal that I'm looking for. That's all I've got for this week. Mayo, anything from you?
No, just excited for the event next week. We'll obviously bring our classic post-event breakdown on the podcast where we go through everything. And I'm fingers crossed, I think it's going to be a good show, even though a lot of it's like kind of known. But I feel like we're going to have some stuff that, like the camera stuff, that we can really dig deep into that we have basically no visibility into at the moment.
Yeah, so catch up on your happy hours if you're behind, or if you need to just skip ahead to the current episodes, just jump to it, because we're always, you know, we get different feedback whenever we do those long episodes that are like 2 hours plus. We try not to do them every week. It isn't a matter of focus. We always know what we're going to discuss before. We plan this out topic by topic. And sometimes we know, oh, we're in for 2 hours this week. For an event, we're going to be in for at least 2 hours. And with as many things that are, you know, expected, probably longer than that. And the whole thing there is that the event is one duration itself, but then to break everything down and talk about it and not just say this happened, but give our take on things, it's going to be long.
Yeah.
So prepare for that. But we also get great feedback from people who love that. So, you know, I'm looking forward to that recording. With that being said, that is the Happy Hour podcast for this week. You can follow 9to5 Mac on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, and YouTube. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Apollo Zach. Benjamin, you're on Twitter at
BZA Mayo.
And if you have any feedback for the show, you can email us at happyhour@9to5mac.com. And we'll be back after the Apple event next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye.